Amen. So let's open up today to Luke 13. Last week we talked about the coming of the Lord. We talked about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 had oil in their lamps and extra to spare. The other 5 did not. And then the Lord came, and the 5 that did not were not able to enter in. The door was shut. So we're talking, you know, about the fact that the Lord is coming back for the lost and for the saved, for those that know him. Amen. You will meet him in the air. You'll go out to meet him. You know, the trumpet sounds, go out to meet him. Amen. But it's not God's will that any should perish, that any should miss out. So that's why we're continuing along that line today. So look at Luke 13, verse 34 and 35. This is Jesus speaking. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly, I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. And so it says, desolate. Your house is made desolate. For one reason, they did not receive the Lord. It doesn't have to be desolate, but it's desolate because of the absence of God in the picture. I remember back when 9/11 happened, and people were asking, where was God? Where was God? And Anne Graham Lotz, daughter of Billy Graham, said, well, you know, the culture has always been saying, we don't want God. We don't want God in our midst. You know, it's like and continually saying that, continually saying and rejecting. So it's wide open to the enemy attack. Amen? So, you know, it's not God's will that any should perish. Thank you, Lord. He loves every person. And that's why Jesus died. He says, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the word desolate means bleak, dismal, emptiness, barren, bare, dismal, grim. And he talks about under his wings. He says, oh, I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. So the idea of being under the wings of the Lord, is a common phrase, especially in the Old Testament, under his wings. If you look at Psalm 91, which is, of course, a great psalm. Psalm 91, verse 4. It says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge, and his truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, the word buckler can be a little hard to comprehend. So the New Living Translation says, that he will be your armor and protection. The word buckler, protection. So the point is that because a person dwells in the secret place of the Most High, because a person dwells in the Lord, they are under his wings of protection. Protection not only in this life, but forever. The wings of his salvation, the wings of his provision of salvation under his wings. In fact, Psalm 91, the whole psalm is talking about the blessing of God for being under his wings. In verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." See, we're under the shadow, or under the wings of the Almighty. Down to verse 9 of Psalm 91, and I recommend that you read the whole psalm. But verse 9 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Because. Amen. What a promise. And then verse 14. Again, because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because. Amen? Now, Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem because they refused. They refused this beautiful promise. Because. And to be in him is also the same thing as being under his wings. To be in Christ, or to be under the blood of Christ. Same thing. In 1 Kings 8, verse 7, we have a nice picture of the glory of the Lord. In 1 Kings 8, 7, it says, "For the cherubim spread their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles." Now, the beauty of that is the ark is where God is, right? And the angels are there. And when David Wins was here, he shared about when Jesus rose from the dead, and they went to visit the grave, and the stone was rolled away, that there was an angel on one end and another on the other end, but Jesus was risen. Hallelujah. The same concept here of the Holy of Holies and the angels guarding and standing on one end and the other of the holy presence of God. Amen? Beautiful. That's what we're talking about, being under the shadow of his wings. Being under. Hallelujah. In Psalm 17:8, it says, "Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings." Amen. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. He will do it. He does it. He's actually doing it. Like the song goes, "Even when we don't see you, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. You're working. You never stop working." Because we're living under the shadow of the Almighty. We're living under his wings. But Jesus is weeping, "Oh, if they only come to me, if they only surrender to me, they would not be desolate." Amen. For they would enjoy the blessing and the peace and everything that goes with the presence of God, being under his wings. In Psalm 57, 1, a similar verse. Psalm 57, verse 1. It says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. You know, the Lord always answers that prayer. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul thirsts, or trusts, and thirsts, trust in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Amen. Till the storm passes by, I'm going to dwell in the secret, I'm going to dwell in the safety of being under his wings. The safety. Hallelujah. In Psalm 36, verse 7, another verse that says something similar. Psalm 36, verse 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Amen. Once again, you know, under the shadow. We put our trust under the shadow of your wings. Amen. Then Psalm 35, verse 2. Psalm 35, verse 2. And let me start with verse 1 in this one. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. And draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. That's another way of him saying, you are under my salvation. You are under the shadow of my wings. He's your defender. Hallelujah. And so, with all that benefit, still when Jesus came, they rejected. They rejected. So there's Jesus weeping. He's weeping. You know, it says Jesus wept. Not just one place, but at least three places that he wept over Jerusalem here because they're going to suffer needlessly. Amen. If we live under the shadow of the Almighty, we won't suffer like the world will. Amen. Amen. It's a beautiful thing to live in the Lord, right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, the other day, I mentioned it was in the Charisma Magazine app on the phone. I'm not sure if you have that app on your phone. Charisma Magazine has an app. And so there's some great articles in there about the Holy Spirit and the move of God. And there's an evangelist, missionary named Sean Fuke, who ministers over where the ISIS people are, where they have terrorized and killed even and harassed believers in Christ, and they have escaped into refugee camps, and this missionary goes around and ministers in these refugee camps over there with a guitar and a couple of people with him, and he goes around and have services. And he was talking to this man that had finally been released from prison. The ISIS had him in prison. He'd been tortured for a month straight, and they tried to kill him. They tried to pour gasoline on him and burn him to death, but he wouldn't burn. And he didn't die. Hallelujah. 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 He's under the shadow of the Almighty. He didn't die. Hallelujah. And that we know that about John also, right? The one that wrote the book of Revelation. They tried to burn him in oil, right? Boil him in oil. That's what they say. And he wouldn't die because of faith. Hallelujah. So let's live under the shadow of the Almighty. It's for our own good. Amen. Hallelujah. But think of people that you know, the lost out there, walking up and down the streets, desolate. Desolate. Yesterday, a lot of desolation. Just simply because not living under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. And you know, the issue is the Lord gives people free will to make a free choice, to intend their own intentions, their own desire. And God gives them the free will to resist God's grace and mercy and to reject his will. Because he wants people to receive him willfully, to receive him by their own decision. Amen. There's another place where, again, Jesus is weeping here. And that's in Luke 19. In Luke 19, not too many chapters later here, in Luke 19, now I won't read the account of Jesus of Palm Sunday when he rode in on the colt into Jerusalem. That's what he was weeping after. So he rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and the people scatter the branches on the ground and so on, and they're praising and worshiping, and they're saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven," that's verse 38, "and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Here it is again. Here's why. Saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you from in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." So there he wept over the spiritual lostness of the human race, and those people in particular there. But really, it's bigger than that. Over the lostness of the human race, it's refusal to turn to the Lord and receive his gift of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And here also, here in verse, it talks about the enemies, your enemies. You know, your enemies are those things that tempt you to put off or to reject Christ Jesus and his will. Those are enemies, whatever they are. Whether they're personal thing hang-ups, whether they're from the culture, whether they're from the media, they're enemies. If they keep you from your decision for Christ, they're enemies to keep you away from the will of God, have you go in a different direction. Those are enemies, enemies of your soul. Amen. That's what, you know, in Psalm 23, that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Oh, yeah. In the presence of all those things, not just people, but things that try to keep us from living under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, wow. So that's why Jesus is weeping here. And another way of putting it is pleading. The idea of pleading. Oh, if you'd only. Pleading for people to decide to turn to him, pleading to so that he can pour out his love into their lives. Amen. It's not just a religion. It's a relationship, but it's even more than that. It's salvation. It's life from the dead. It's a hope in the future forever and ever. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5, we see the idea of pleading. That's why I asked Mary to use that song during the offering. Wounded and bleeding, four sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Right? Pleading. Jesus on the cross, four sinners pleading. Oh, receive, receive, receive the gift from heaven. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 20, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. The ministry of reconciliation, to be reconciled to one another, that's part of it. But more than that, to be reconciled to God and then with one another, right? Be reconciled to God so that salvation can be ours. Amen. So it says that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Not only has he reconciled us, but he's given us the reconciliation ministry. That means to tell people about his love. To tell people about his love. To tell people about his great salvation, his great grace, and his mercy, and his loving kindness. Hallelujah. It says that he gave us the ministry. You have a ministry. I have a ministry. You have a ministry. It's called the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people to God. Amen. And here it defines it. Here, verse 19 is the definition of this ministry. It says that is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. See that? The main reason Jesus came was to take our sins away so that we could be righteous before the Father, so that we could go to be with him forever. To be with him forever. To be his sons and daughters. Right? So this is not imputing their trespasses. He took away our sins. He forgave us our sins. And so he says that God was in Christ. God the Father was in Christ, reconciling the world, the human race, to himself. Not counting or imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Committed to us the word of reconciliation, again, for our own sake, and now for our ministry of reconciliation. Amen. And then, verse 20. Now then, it amplifies this. It says, now then, we are now ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us. See, God was pleading through Jesus be reconciled. God was pleading through Jesus be reconciled. Now he's pleading through his people be reconciled to God. The same message that he was pleading through Jesus is now being pleaded through you. Pleading through you. Oh, be reconciled to God. Oh, be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. We are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador. We are an ambassador, not just of the United Nations, but of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The royal kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. As an ambassador for Christ, he pleads through you, be reconciled to God. Receive your forgiveness. Receive the love of God. Be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You could add this to your notes, but in Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, it speaks of the priests. It says, For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Talks about the priest being the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But now, in the New Testament, every believer is a priest. All right? So in 1 Peter 2:9, you can add this to your notes. It says, but you are, not will be, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. Everyone, that doesn't mean you have to turn your collar around. But think of it. Think of it that maybe, you know, maybe I, in my mind, turn my collar around and realize I'm a priest. You're a priest. And you are, that means you're called to plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. To plead to the nations. To plead to the lost. To pray for them. And to testify. And to urge people to receive the great gift of eternal life that Jesus offers. And so we come back to where we started. Under the shadow. Under his feathers. Under his feathers. Psalm 91 verse 4. Where we started almost. Is where it says, he shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. In the Message Bible, it says, his huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you are perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. And then the Living Bible says, he will shield you with his wings. They will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a message. You have a message for the lost. Be reconciled to God. Be born again. Be reconciled to God. No condemnation if they come to Christ. He will wipe their sins away. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to pray today.